Those on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
And good morning. You're listening to Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, and streaming live at KCNR1460.com. It is Wednesday, April 7th, 2021. And here behind the mics today are Pat and Pam Karch. We're covering for Carl and Linda as they're out on assignment. That's what he told me to say. Actually, I don't know what they're doing, but they're assigning something. Let's see if we can take a look at what's happening outside in the weather. Jared, do you have that for us?
I do. It's currently 46 degrees here downtown. It looks like it's going to be sunny and clear throughout the week. Today is going to be a high of 75, a low of 44. Tomorrow is going to be a high of 74, a low of 47. Friday is going to be a high of 77 with a low of 47. And Saturday is going to be a high of 79 with a low of 49.
Ah, looks like it's going to be great all week. I know it'll be good for us because we have a guy coming today to take out this massive oak tree in our yard. And it's kind of funny because it hovers over the fence. You know, it's one of those neighbor things where our neighbor next door, Martin, great neighbors, you know, he doesn't want to park his trailer under it. He's worried about a branch falling off the tree. So we're just going to take the tree down. And because I'm kind of worried about the tree also.
It's hanging over our bedroom.
Yeah, yeah. And we had one tree limb that was hanging over our bedroom years ago before we were back in that part of the house. Our daughter was back there. And I cut the limb off, and the tree rotated, and it punched a hole in the roof. And so it can happen in just a second. So I'd be glad to get the thing out of there. Anyhow, good weather is going to allow us to do that, and then we'll be able to park Marty's trailer further down in the backyard so we don't have to look at it. But, you know, we're not here to talk about Marty's trailer today. We got Robert Burke is here. This guy, I've been working at the station for a while, being trained by Jared and Ashley and to be an engineer and occasionally cover for Carl. And I listen to Robert comes in and talks about films, and it is just mystifying to me how much he knows. It is amazing how much you know. I mean, it's almost like you have an inside track, or you spend like all your time in the theater or something. Do you?
Well, thank you. I spend a lot of time researching movie. I wouldn't say I spend all of my time in the theater, but I spend a lot of time researching movies and watching them. And yeah,
not so. You know, and I have some logistical questions that have always interested me. Let's just talk about theater movie popcorn. Okay, first of all, and so I like popcorn. I like to have butter on it. And the thing is, they say it's real butter. Like, they don't give you the real butter, like, from behind the counter, or at least they didn't last time I was here. You had to walk across the floor about 20 feet, and there was a real butter container. That's never refrigerated. So, I mean, how is it possible that they can keep butter unrefrigerated in a room and it sits out all night?
It's not only butter.
Uh-oh.
There's a lovely long list of things that goes into that to keep it fresh.
Oh, no.
Lots of chemicals.
I don't want to know that. I'm sorry I asked that question. Anyhow, so what's happening in film world these days? I mean, after COVID, just recap for me a little bit.
So I think that the biggest thing from the last week to take into consideration is that Godzilla vs. Kong just opened in movie theaters, and that was a release on HBO Max and in movie theaters the same day. But a lot of people were really hoping that it could put some life into the movie theater box office area because the box office has been pretty dead pretty long time. And it more than doubled the pandemic record.
Oh, my God.
Godzilla vs. Kong opened to, in its first 5 days, $48.5 million, which is nowhere near what it would have made during normal times. During normal times, you probably would have seen it making anywhere between $150 to $175 million. But the $48.5 million far and away beats the previous five-day record for Tenet, which came out back in September, which was $20.2 million.
So they've got to be really happy with that.
They are very happy, and especially with the fact that it came out on HBO Max the same day. Which, if you think about it, that means that people really had a choice between, am I going to stay home and watch this, or am I going to go to the theaters? And $48.5 million worth of people said, I'm going to go to the theaters. And it's a great number considering that a lot of theaters, including ours right now, are at limited capacity. you know, our movie theater, currently it can't go over 25%, which if you think about it, a lot of these theaters have a maximum occupancy of 60 or 70.
Right, sure.
So that's 15, 16, 17 people. So if you're looking across the country, if all of them, which they all don't, but if a lot of them have a 25% capacity, there's a chance that this movie will just keep on making more and more money each weekend
right.
because people didn't get the chance to see it. At our theater, show times were sold out like crazy. I mean, I tried to get tickets the day before, and I had to wait for them to open new show times because every show time that was out was either sold out or only had the capacity for one more ticket.
How are they selling these tickets? Like, are you going to the box office or are you going online?
The best way to get the tickets now with everything is online because, you know, with the 25% capacity, it's very rare that you can just walk up and say, hey, I want to see this movie, and then, oh, you know, you can just get your ticket. That's kind of become a thing of the past right now because people are buying their tickets online early and securing a spot. So anytime I'm seeing something, I buy my ticket early, and I try to buy it as early as I can because you truthfully don't know what movie is going to do successfully in this area. It could be, you know, any of them.
There's hope.
Yeah.
There's hope because I just heard that California will be opened up completely the first week in June.
Mm-hmm.
That was from the governor's mouth, so we'll see how that works.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean completely? Like, we're
that
just
means
going back to normal?
That means no tear, no nothing.
Wow, that'd be great. Because, yeah, I love to go to the movies, you know, mm-hmm. even despite what you told me about the popcorn. I'm still going to eat
yeah.
it. Yeah, and Godzilla, you know, is that a movie that I could, like, take my 6-year-old or 7-year-old
What's it rated?
Now?
It's a PG-13 movie, so it's pretty loud, and the fighting is a bit intense. I saw young kids in the theater, and they had a good time with it, though. So, I mean, it really depends on your 6- or 7-year-old grandchild.
I'll have to ask.
It is a loud movie, though. Yeah. I personally wasn't a big fan of it, but currently it's doing very well in terms of reviews. A lot of people are saying that it's a super fun, super high energy blockbuster, the type that you really do need to see in a movie theater. So, and honestly, I think that's why it's doing so well is that everybody is saying you have to see it in a theater. But even on HBO Max, they haven't reported official numbers yet, to my knowledge, but they announced that it had the most streams of any movie ever, I believe, on the service, which means that it is just doing exceptionally well in theaters and on streaming services, which means a lot of people were looking forward to this.
Amazing.
One of the things that I've done since COVID hit was, you know, I haven't got my movie fix by going to the theater. So I go, like, on Facebook, and then if you go to the, you know, the watch, I don't know what you call that, where you can watch stuff on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
you get clips of movies. And this, what's weird is, I, after a while looking at those, I'm thinking, you know, I wonder if this is illegal, because a lot of times they're in reverse. You know, you like, you look at a sign in the movie and it's backwards. And I'm like, is someone actually, like, not supposed to post this? Or what's the deal with that?
Mm-hmm. I think in terms of uploading just clips, that's completely legal, because you see a lot of movies, like, you'll find YouTube clips of certain movies. But I'm not sure if it's certain scenes or not, because there are situations where the scenes will be backwards or distorted in some weird way. So, but I don't know too much about it.
So I've never, like, any of the movies that have come out in the last year, I've never, like, seen them all the way through. I've, like, seen the probably the best of the best clips, you know, where,
mm-hmm.
like, King Kong is, you know, duking it out with Godzilla. And then maybe it'll be 10 minutes long, you know, and then it's over. And then
yeah.
That's the end of it. So I'm looking forward to getting back in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you enjoy the type of monster movies like Godzilla vs. Kong, I think you would enjoy this one. It is very high energy, and the fights, there weren't enough for me, but I still think that the fights that they did have in the movie were very entertaining. If you're not the type of person that likes these big monster movies, then this one isn't going to change your opinion. But if you're a fan of them, then
right on.
I would say you should go see it.
Well, classically speaking, those are the original epitome of gigantic things
yeah.
you want to see on a screen. Even
mm-hmm.
It's not my thing, yeah. but I still know that those are ones I would want to see on a big screen, because they are the first and the best.
Yeah. Well, that's what makes the movie experience great. Okay, we're going to have to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll wrap it up with you and tell
right.
us what's coming up in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you're listening to KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM, and streaming live at KCNR1460.com.
Just take those old records off the shelf. listening to people who are angry all the time?
Try listening to Armstrong and Getty from 9 to noon right after Free Fire Radio.
Savings now at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading. Buy 5 car wash coupons and get one free. Or buy 10 and get 3 free. Spring on over for savings at Quick and Clean Car Wash. Car wash coupons are a great gift. Or for your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash next to Dutch Bros at the corner of Market and Eureka Way, downtown Reading. Quick and clean. KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at kcnr1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 14.
These are unprecedented times, challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, and there is no better time to get screened than right now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge.
John Adams said, quote, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people." As more Americans are identifying as atheists or no religious affiliation, it is not surprising that our morals and religious restraints have eroded from our founding Judeo-Christian principles.
Learn more about our ministry and get exclusive email updates by registering for The Legal Insider at pji.org.
Hey, hey. Welcome back, KCNR Radio. You're here with Pat and Pam Karch in the morning, covering for Carl and Linda. They're out on assignment. And in the studio today, we have Mr. Robert Burke, who is, I consider, the guru, the ultimate authority in everything to do with film and Hollywood. Welcome, Robert.
Thank you.
Yeah. When we left earlier, we were talking about the new Kong movie that, and then during the break,
Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah. We decided, based on Robert's expert advice, that we probably shouldn't take our grandson. You know what he doesn't like? He doesn't like loud. And you've probably used the word loud in regard to that movie like 5 times since we've been talking about it.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
But, you know, we could take earplugs or something like that. So what else is happening in the world of film?
So most recently, this last weekend, the SAG Awards happened, which, if you don't know, so the Oscars is made up of different branches of guilds that vote on the awards. The Screen Actors Guild is the body that nominates the films for the acting categories, and then everybody from all the guilds votes for the winners. Now, what you saw kind of, you know, starting 30 years ago, a lot of the guilds started having their own award shows. So the Screen Actors Guild did so and created the SAG Awards, which are now very much considered a precursor for the Oscars in terms of who might win and who might, you know, take away the big awards. So they happened this last Sunday, and there were not a whole lot of surprises. So when it came to Best Supporting Actor, the winner this year for the SAG Award was Daniel Kaluuya for Judas and the Black Messiah. So Daniel Kaluuya is pretty big now. He was in Get Out, and he has kind of made a pretty big name for himself. This one wasn't any surprise. If you ask anybody who's been tracking the Oscars, Daniel Kaluuya is winning 100%. There's no doubt about it. And you can basically guarantee that he's going to win at the Oscars.
So I have a question. You know, that's something I maybe you could explain to me. When they talk about screenwriting, and what exactly that happens before a movie is made?
Right.
This is a mystery to me.
Screenwriting refers to a screenplay, which is something that you write for a movie. This is the Screen Actors Guild Awards, so these are actors.
So a screenplay is actually a play?
A screenplay is a film.
It's a film. Okay.
Right. They call it a screenplay, but it is the script for a movie.
And is it the whole movie or just a piece of it?
It's the whole movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's what people do before they shoot a movie.
Before they shoot a movie, yeah. They'll write out a full screenplay and then try to sell it to a studio, or they'll make the movie themselves.
So do they have to produce that themselves before they go to the studio? I mean, it's got to be done on their dime, or...
The screenplay?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, usually, but it's very inexpensive to make a screenplay. You know, you just have to have these days you just have to have a computer and
gotcha.
Something and you can write on.
So then they go and they make the pitch to the studio.
Yeah, there's a million different ways to go about it. You can pitch to a studio, you can pitch to a producer, you can make the movie yourself, you know, give it off to a friend to make it. It really depends.
I know when I was over at Reading School of the Arts, there were a few short movies that were shot there. Alex Carter was the kind of my counterpart, and he worked with some folks that came in, and they seemed very professional, and some of them really were, and they shot some great movies, probably all under 15 minutes. It was part of a movie-making class. It was here in Reading. I think it had something to do with Bethel Media or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the movies were great, and it was really impressive. I learned a little bit, but I didn't really understand anything about the screenplay until now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're saying these people that win at the SAG Awards, they're pretty much a shoo-in when we get over to the Oscars?
It really depends, you know. This is entirely actors voting for actors. It is, and then if you look at the Oscars, it's people from all across the board voting for actors. So you'll have directors voting for the acting awards. You'll have writers voting for the acting awards. The thing is, the SAG, the Screen Actors Guild, is the biggest guild out of all of them at the Oscars. So ultimately, they are a very good precursor in terms of who's going to win, but it's not 100% all the time.
How do people get into this? Is everybody that's a screenwriter automatically able to vote in this?
Now, the actor in that would be Screen Actors
Right, this
Guild.
Is the Screen Actors Guild, not okay. the Screenwriters
gotcha.
Guild. So it's just actors in this guild. To be in the Screen Actors Guild, you have to get a guild membership, which you get... I don't know the specifics, but I know that you can apply for it or the guild will try to reach out for you. But if you're a legitimate actor in Hollywood, you will get an association with the Screen Actors Guild.
Okay, I get
yeah.
it. Yeah, that makes
yeah.
sense. So, but it almost sounds like it's like a form of government, I mean, a political thing almost.
Union.
People get in, they vote. And then I know some years when Oscars come out, I look at the winners of some of these things, and I think to myself, now how is it that one? I mean, I thought this other movie was, like, great, and the acting was better. Is there some kind of behind-the-scenes politicking that goes on?
There's a lot of things that go into a win for a movie. It really just depends on how did the studio that owns the movie advertise it? How did they create energy for it? How did they create hype around it? And how did all of the other awards precursors, bodies vote?
Right. Well, I know the hype thing for sure, because a lot of times they'll advertise a movie to death, and then I'll go to see it, and I'm like, oh, you know, that wasn't really as good as the previews. Mm-hmm. That's what we always say. Gosh, the previews were better than the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
sometimes I don't even see some of the previews in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like it's a whole different shot or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, movies... Yes, a lot of movies do that, for sure. Yeah. So, for the lead acting role, the winner this year was Chadwick Boseman for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, which was awarded posthumously because Chadwick Boseman passed away back in August, I think. And this was his last performance that was ever caught, and as a result, it is winning a lot of the Best Lead Actor awards. This one, I would also say, is pretty straightforward. One of the more surprising awards of the night was Best Lead Actress, which ended up going to Viola Davis for the same movie, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. The surprise here was that a lot of people were saying that an easy pick for it was going to be Carey Mulligan for Promising Young Woman, but Viola Davis ended up taking the award. Other wins, the Best Supporting Actress category went to Yoo Jung-yoon for Minari, which was a movie about a Korean family that came out. And all four acting awards this year went to people of color for the first time, which was a pretty big headline when it happened, because it's the first time in history that that's happened. And then for Best Motion Picture Ensemble, which is an award for everybody, you know, in the film, The Trial of the Chicago 7 won, which was an Aaron Sorkin movie that came out on Netflix that was pretty well reviewed, and it ended up taking the Best Motion Picture Ensemble Award.
You know, the that reminds me, when you say someone has passed away and they continue to make the movie, that's happened with several movies that we've seen over the years. And I'm guessing that they film these clips and then they were not going to use them. Then the person passes away and they're somehow able to. Wasn't one of the Star Wars movies like that? Was it Carrie Fisher?
Carrie Fisher passed away, yeah. So it really depends on the movie. If you look at Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, they had already shot the entire movie before Chadwick Boseman died. So they had the whole movie done, so all they had to do was edit the scenes together and send it off and it would be done. If you look at Episode 9 with Carrie Fisher, she had died and they had not shot a single scene for Star Wars Episode 9. They had not shot a single scene yet. So they went back and used older clips from there were deleted scenes from Episode 7 or Episode 8, and I believe that they did some CGI work as well. It depends on the actor. I mean, if you look at Philip Seymour Hoffman in The Hunger Games, they use CGI to finish his scenes out. If you look at someone like Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight, who also won an Oscar after dying, the movie was complete and completely shot before he was done.
And then that old boy that I really liked in The Lord of the Rings, Gandalf?
Yeah.
Yeah, what a... and also, wasn't the one of the Harry Potter...
Dumbledore in that movie died. The Gandalf actor didn't die, though, Lord of the Rings. No, Ian McKellen is still alive.
I must have been thinking of the Harry Potter one.
Yeah, right? Yeah. They changed Dumbledore's halfway through because the one who was in the first two movies ended up passing away.
You know, and that's always weird. I remember watching The Matrix and then I can't think of the woman's name. She was the motherly-looking woman that... would talk with Neo, and at some point she died and a new woman replaced her. Mm-hmm. And they even wrote that into the script, and she asked him, I remember her asking him, so do I look the same? And he said, bits of you look the same and bits of you don't. And that was how they played that into the script to actually, you know, acknowledge the fact that the lady had died and it was moving on and so forth. So mm-hmm. Anyhow, it's good. We're getting close to a break here in about 1 minute, and when we come back on the other side of the half hour, we're going to be talking with Matt Brown about the pitfalls of home mortgages and what families need to avoid and what they need to look for. He's with Megastar Financial. But in the meantime, we want to remind you, you're listening to KCNR Radio. That's 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. KCNR1460.com. You're here with Pat and Pam Karch. We are covering for Carl and Linda, who are out on assignment. See you on the other side.
Think about it. Girl, let's be high in love. Found in love. Bottle feeding in the stars above. Without it, life is way. down to Wind River Resort and Casino to enter our Swipe to Win promotion starting April 1st through June 24th. Weekly drawings on Thursday, 6 to 9 p.m. Winners receive bonus entries for the $20,000 final drawing on April 29th. Keep playing for a chance to win a patio boat on May 27th and one of four energy-saving Pedego electric bikes on June 24th. Join us for a safe, comfortable, and fun gaming experience at Wind River Resort and Casino. More drawings, more winners, and more fun. WindRiver.com.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Greetings, North State. Just a reminder here to be sure and tune in to Common Ground Radio Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. You know, we have much more in common with one another than we normally recognize, but fail to see this thanks to our polarized media that deliberately divides us and demonizes the other side. Common Ground Radio is your progressive call-in talk show for the North State right here on Radio KCNR, where we seek bipartisan agreement on many issues affecting all of us using respectful, fact-based dialogue and starting for change from the progressive side of the street.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
That's exactly. We're sitting. The sun is coming through the window of KCNR here on Market Street, 1326 Market Street. You're listening. You're tuned in now. This station is the absolute hub. It's the center of gravity for downtown Reading. And we're happy to be here. Pat and Pam Karch, covering for Carl and Linda as they're out on assignment. Wanted to do the weather, let you know what's going to come. Jared, do you have that in there?
I do have the weather. It's currently 48 degrees. It's going to be sunny pretty much all week. Today we have a high of 75, a low of 44. Tomorrow we have a high of 74, a low of 47. On Friday we have a high of 77 and a low of 47. And on Saturday we have a high of 79 with a low of 49.
So that sounds great. And that means we'll be at the end of sometime today. Pam and Pat will be out there chopping up their giant oak tree that's going to come down. And but in the studio right now, we have Mr. Matt Brown, who's with Megastar Financial. And good morning. Good, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. First of all, before we get into what Megastar and Matt do, I want to tell you that Matt is an unbelievable bass player and very lyrical, reads music, sings. And we've had the honor to play together several times, and it's really good. I really appreciate that.
I appreciate playing with you. It's awesome.
Yeah, well, you know, I think when people are musicians, they connect on multiple levels, you know.
Absolutely.
And it's good for the brain, too. You know, playing music sparks something in there.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. But that's not why we're here today. We have some questions. I've always had some questions, and I'm not sure if I'll get through the questions that I'm just going to tell you I'm ignorant about mortgages, okay?
Okay.
And here's why. I have had owned two homes. I built them both, okay? And the first one was here in downtown Reading. That was back in the day. Let me tell you how cheap it was. Get this. The lot and the house, the complete project from beginning to end, $27,300.
Oh, my goodness. What were interest rates? What were interest rates, though?
10%.
Okay, and what was the minimum wage back then?
I don't even remember.
Okay,
it was less than a cup of coffee.
Okay,
but from the day we broke ground to the day that we moved in, get this, was exactly 30 days.
Oh, yep.
And I'm
going to repeat in the city of Reading.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, and those are the good old days. And then we moved out to the country where Pam and I are now, and that house took about 3 months. And I had to borrow money to build those. You know, no family, especially when I was a young family, can come up with that amount of cash. It's just not possible. I mean, unless you have a wealthy uncle that dies or something like mm-hmm. that, right? So that's where people like you come in, right?
Right, absolutely. Help people get money.
Yeah. And so say you're a young family and you're listening today and you've been rent. Here's what I hear all the time, even mm-hmm. when some of my adult children, you know, they're tired of renting. They want to mm-hmm. own a home. There's something about Americans owning a home. It's like part of the American way.
Right.
And so they just never make the move to go find out how to do that. They maybe see a home they like and they ask about it, but they don't do anything. So what's the first thing that people need to do?
Come see someone like myself. It's like going to the store without your wallet. You know, you see something and there's one left of this on the shelf, and I go home to get my wallet, and then I go back and it's gone.
It's gone.
So,
especially in this market, right?
Absolutely. Things are going very, very quickly. Inventory is low in correlation to demand, and it's good to have your finances in order before you go out and start shopping with a realtor.
So you're working closely with realtors all the time?
I do, yeah. Yep. A lot of great realtors in this area. We're very fortunate in this area to have many, many good realtors.
I know that we have a House of Realty in Cameron, and those folks come on the show.
From time to time. Great people over there, yeah.
Yeah, we've known Cameron for a while. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when someone comes to you and wants to buy a house, exactly what do you do?
I help pre-qualify them, help get them fully pre-approved, you know, figure out each person's situation is different. I correlate it to, like, some people say, is this the best loan or is that the best loan? And I kind of correlate that, like, going to the dealership, a car dealership, and one person saying the Prius is the best car or the Tundra is the best car. Well, if you need to drive back and forth to Sacramento every day, then the Prius is the best. But if you need to haul hay and tow both, then right. the Tundra is the best. So I try to figure out what that person's needs are, what that person's trying to accomplish, what their goals are. And from there, we figure out what's the best mortgage plan, you know, what's the best loan type, how much do they qualify for. And also sometimes what people qualify for and what they want to spend are different numbers. I mean, just because I qualify for a $2,000 per month payment doesn't mean I want one, right?
Yeah, so, well, that would be, this is what happened during the 2008, at least from my perspective.
Right.
And I could be wrong, and maybe you can set me straight. I have this opinion that somehow, all the way up to the presidential branch of the government, that there was a housing director that believed that every American should own a home.
Mm-hmm.
And the qualifications or the requirements for getting those loans were somehow loosened or relaxed.
Yeah.
And then as a result, what happened?
The crash. and I'm not sure if it was so much the government. Well, maybe it was. It was the mm-hmm. government and it was the banks. You know, the government was very loosey-goosey on what it would, you know, take to qualify for a loan.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really easy to gamble with someone else's money.
Exactly.
So there wasn't a lot of regulations on from the government to the banks as to, like, what's the maximum payment income and debt income, loan to values. You know, people were giving loans for over 100% because they could loan out somebody else's money and then, you know, get the financial reward for doing a loan. It was not a good setup. So a lot of that's been corrected, though, you know, in the last 10, 12 years. Now the government went from that polar opposite to the polar opposite side of, you know, regulating everything, you know, maximum payment to income ratios, debt to income ratios, everything's full document, you know, where they used to do what they call ninja loans. So no income, no job verification, no asset verification. So all that stuff that should have been done the whole time is now being done because of the crash.
Okay. That makes sense. We had a rental that we inherited from our parents. It was over in Trinity County.
Yeah.
And this was pre-2008. And we kept it, and then we determined, you know, we really don't want to be landlords. That's a real pain in the rear. Although the guy was great. He was a great renter. And we really wanted him to buy the house. But he had no assets, and he had no money. And so I went to a, I guess I would call it not a loan shark, but a B-rated mortgage company here in town.
Right.
And I told them, here's the problem. We really want this guy to buy this house. He doesn't have any money. You know, he has no assets. And the guy figured out a way to do that. But
he's been paying us for how many years for rent?
He'd been paying for 8 years.
Yes, eight years rent.
Okay.
And so he said, you know, what we can do is we can say that that was, I don't know what.
Payments.
Yeah. Yeah, a self-report, installment loan, basically, or self-reported. It's like self-reporting your utilities or, you know, your cell phone or something like that, where you get credit for that on your credit report.
That's what he did. He got credit for it, and then he was able to qualify. Now, the interest rate was pretty harsh.
Okay.
But after 3 years, I think he went and
refinanced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it worked out great. It was great for him because he was a great renter, great guy, and he lives in our parents' house, and, you know, we really like him and stuff. And then we got out of it, you know, thank the Lord for that.
Right.
It was mostly me doing the work on that thing.
And he's still there, very happy with his little house.
Great. It all worked out.
Yeah, it's great. Are those kind of loans still available?
Yeah, there are portfolio loans and non-QM loans. Honestly, I think the regional banks are best at those. Most residential mortgage bankers like myself will do just what they call QM mortgages. So loans that are basically insured by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or Ginnie Mae residential firsts. So like conventional loans, FHA loans, VA loans for veterans, USDA loans done through the Department of Rural Development. And those rates are going to, those loans will have a lot lower interest rates, you know, lower fees, lower, basically lower down payment requirements.
Is this the amount that the person who is actually applying for the loan has to come up with out of pocket?
That's correct. Yep.
Okay. And on a refi, do they sometimes roll those into the mortgage?
The fees?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, almost probably 95%+ of people that have refinanced, they don't have to come out of pocket anything. Doesn't mean that there's not closing costs, you know, the county and title and escrow. Even if someone's doing a no-cost, quote-unquote, no-cost refinance, there's still costs.
Mm-hmm. Well, something's got to pay the bills for people like you to put food on the table.
Nothing in life is free. Well, even if I did a no-cost refinance, it just means I'm not charging, you know, processing or underwriting fees, right, things like that. But the county's still going to want their money. You know, right, the assessor's office is still going to want their money, and title and escrow won't work for free. So
we're discussing here things that are probably way beyond a young, new family that wants to buy a home. They have no clue what we just talked about. None. Zero.
So let's talk about family.
So, yeah.
So when we come back after the break, let's get into that, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, and we're talking with Matt Brown with Megastar Financial, and we'll be back on the other side. You're listening to KCNR Radio. Streaming live, if you'd like to do that, KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM. Remember, you can call in at 605-4567. Pat and Pam Karcher, we'll see you on the other side.
Staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed is the only bed that effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. And now the new Queen Sleep Number 360 C4 Smart Bed is only $14.99, plus special financing, only for a limited time. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
You don't have to be a Native American to access quality health care. Radiant Rancheria's Churn Creek Healthcare and Central Valley Healthcare are open to anyone with Medicare, Medi-Cal, or Partnership Health. Our health system never charges co-pays, deductibles, share of costs, or even a sliding fee scale. Patients never have to pay to access quality, compassionate healthcare. Radiant Rancheria Tribal Health System, changing how healthcare is delivered. Call us today to schedule an appointment.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
It's the Ramsey Show, where we talk about your life and your money. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, featuring Armstrong and Getty, both smart and funny. Plus, you will hear Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Ben Shapiro. And don't miss our local programming right here on KCNR.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears.
All right, you hear that?
I do.
It sounds like you playing bass.
Oh.
You know, it's funny, we're here with Matt Brown from Megastar Financial. You're here with Pat and Pam, covering KCNR 1460 and 96.5, covering for Carl and Linda, who are out on assignment. And so Matt Brown, who's with Megastar, also plays bass. And what I appreciate about Matt is that sometimes we're going to do a song and he'll pick a bass line that I don't like. And so I'll, and you've seen me do this, right? And so, and it's not a, excuse me, it's not a cut or anything like that, but I'll go back and say, hey, Matt, you know, really what I need is like just solid quarter notes and, or half notes or something like that. He's always like, oh, okay, I got you. You know, and so I hope that you're not put off by that anyway.
Not at all.
Okay.
So we're talking mortgages, and yes, we started out with a lot of information that was way, way past the comprehension of someone who hasn't even started to look for a home. Mm-hmm. We want to go back to basics because there are a lot of young families out there that want to find a place to live.
Yeah.
And don't have any idea where to start. And you already mentioned you wouldn't go to the store and there's one thing left. You don't have your wallet with you. You go home, you come back, it's gone. Mm-hmm. So you go do your financials first.
That's
get
right.
those done.
Yep.
All right.
Come see
Fill
someone like
in.
Me. So,
all right.
Yeah, I know what it's like to continue to pay your rent. You know, it's one of those things you just don't think of, and it just continues to happen. But in my opinion, for that young family, I just for their financial future, I think it's always better to pay your own mortgage rather than someone else's. I think it's better. You know, 87% of America's wealth is in real estate, and it's better to for you to get the appreciation of the market and pay down your own mortgage balance. So the first step is. Honestly, just come see someone like myself. You know, it's a lot of times people are fearful or one thinking they need to get things figured out first. Or
and there's no entrance fee at your office.
No, it doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't cost you anything. You know, it's and I'll basically someone like myself could help create a game plan. You know, figuring out the best mortgage plan, loan type, and honestly, if somebody doesn't qualify right now. That's okay. It's like going to the doctor. Like, I don't want to go to the doctor because I don't know if I'm okay yet. Well, no, go to the doctor and he might tell you you're great. You're ready to buy a house or there's nothing wrong with you. Or he's going to say, hey, there's something wrong with you. Here's some medicine. Well, I'll do the same thing. You know, hey, you're not ready yet, but hey, do this, this, and this, and you're going to be ready. And as long as you do this, this, and this, you'll be ready in a month or two or six or 1 year, you know, at least you'll know, you'll have a game plan, you'll have a roadmap, and we'll get you to that final goal of home ownership.
What are the steps? I mean, obviously, a person's got to have a steady job, right? Good income.
Not necessarily good income. I mean, I guess good is a relative term. It's more of a subjective, but to some families, you know, a couple, you know, two people working full time minimum wage could be more than meet all their needs. And that actually is enough for someone to qualify for a nice first time home in this area. So I think a lot of times people have this conception of what their life needs to look like first. And honestly, if they just come see me, I can help figure it out. And most times people are either that think that they're not going to qualify, either do. You know, or they leave with hope. live with hope and a game plan.
Patty, you were asking about what young couples can do to protect their credit score.
Well, and get it. You want to hire your credit score. So, and some people have no idea where to start on that. And there are things that you can actually personally do
100%.
To even get some credit on your credit score, which is, it's self-reporting. So we explain that, Matt.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's one aspect, but, that helps people with the minimum trade lines like somebody, but, that they'll need to qualify for a mortgage, but the credit score themselves, and I put people through this when I meet with them, but, credit's, I know how credit works, so I can tell someone what they need to do. If their credit score is not high enough, I can say, hey, do this, this, and this, and your score is going to go up to this exact amount with this period of time. A lot of times that's paying down credit card balances. That's the biggest thing. I mean, the biggest part of somebody's credit score is paying bills, paying them on time, you know, keeping charge-offs, collections, late payments off their credit. Second biggest factor is revolving available credit, though. That's a percentage. It's not a dollar amount. And I've heard people say things, oh, I want to max out my credit card and pay it off. I've maxed out my credit card and pay it off. No, you don't. Revolving available credit's a percentage. So, like, whether I have one credit card that has a $50 limit on it. If I don't owe anything on it, I have 100% of my $50 available for me to use. Which is identical to if I had, you know, 1,000 credit cards with $1 million of limit. If I don't owe anything on any of them, I also have 100%. So
yes.
I want to be as close to that 100% availability as possible while still showing just a little bit of utilization. So I will show someone what they need to pay their cards down to achieve the credit score they want to. And if their score is still not high enough, that's okay. But then it's just process of elimination, you know. The other two things that will help is time. I mean, time does heal all wounds.
Yeah.
But sometimes
even
your credit score, that's right. But sometimes people don't want to have to wait the amount of time necessary for the score to get to the level that it needs to be. So then I will put them into credit restoration because it means that there might be some derogatory items on the credit report, whether it be late payments or collections or charge-offs. But I have a system to help try to get those deleted for someone as well to help expedite the timeline for them to be able to buy a house.
Sometimes there can even be a mistake, like someone did for me, and they said, you know, you've got this certain error on your credit report, and I went and looked at it, and something had been paid, but it wasn't showed as paid.
Right.
And it didn't really take that much effort, just a few phone calls, and I remember that whatever the company it was, I don't recall what it was, and whoever the person that carried that worked together. They actually worked together to clear it up for me.
Right.
Yeah, it worked out pretty good. Now, we're getting close to the top of the hour, but
real quick, percentage of homes available or our percentages of go ahead.
Percentages of interest rates or houses on the
market? Houses on the market. What's available for a first-time homeowner out there right now? We have a good amount?
No. We don't. But there are some. You know, inventory is low. And I don't want to get too much on real estate. But there's a correlation there. Inventory is low in correlation to demand. You know, there's probably a little over 300 houses on the market right now in Shasta County. And it's not like people aren't buying homes. It's not like people aren't listing homes. They're listing them like crazy. It's just they're selling so much faster than they can put them on, right?
Right.
So, with first-time homebuyers, another thing I try to encourage them with after I have them fully pre-approved is just stick with it. I mean, a year and a half ago, maybe I give out somebody one pre-approval letter, maybe two, and then they're in escrow on a house. So now it's just like, hey, I might have, on average, have to give out two or three or four or five, you know, pre-approval letters before they get an accepted offer on a house. So just stick with it, and you'll get your final goal accomplished.
You know, one of the big questions that people have is, should I get a 30-year fixed rate or a 15-year or a variable? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, as low as rates are right now, I'd say, not get a variable. And for the most part, I don't think I've done a variable in years with fixed rates are the way to go with how low they are. I mean, close to all-time lows right now.
Like what?
Well, it depends on the loan type and the credit score and the equity, but I'd say high twos, low threes for the most part, depending on those other variables. But what were we talking about?
Well, I got you off because, that was always one of the things that we had to decide.
15 or 30.
Yeah.
That reminds me. Yeah. If somebody can easily afford a house that meets all of their needs and it fit in a 15-year payment, fits within their budget, and they qualify for that payment and they're happy with that payment, then sure, do a 15-year. You do get a slightly lower, interest rate by doing the 15. But the 30, and also you pay less in interest over time, but a lot of times people will do the 30 because they'll qualify for more, and they also like the flexibility of being able to make a lower payment. Now they can make the 15-year payment. They can make principal payments every month and pay it off much faster than 30 years, right?
Right.
But at least it gives them the flexibility of, like, if during Christmas time, or I want to go on vacation, or my kid needs braces, or, oh no, my transmission went out. If they do the 15-year loan, they have to make the higher payment. They have to. If you do the 30-year loan, well, you can make the larger payment every single month, and then the month that you have unexpected expenses,
you hold that back for something you need.
You have the flexibility to make the lower payment if you need to. So,
my experience with people is that they won't make that higher payment every month.
That's true.
It's
human nature. Path of least resistance, that's sure.
And that's why, we have programs like Social Security, and because people would not save on their own, and so we force them to save, or even in a retirement system,
right.
Like when I was working for the schools. We're getting close. Anyhow, it's the top of the hour, and we're going to sign off and see you on the other side. We've been here with Matt Brown from Megastar Financial. Thanks.
And thanks so much for having me.
You bet.
Good to see you, though.
See you on the other side.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Britain's drug regulator, citing a rare blood clot risk posed by the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine, says those under the age of 30 will be offered the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine instead. At the same time, Dr. June Rain says the benefits of the AstraZeneca shot continue to outweigh the risks for the vast majority of people. The White House appears to be downplaying the arrest of two Yemeni men detained while crossing the border from Mexico into California earlier this year. Both of the men arrested separately are on a terror watch list. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki suggests
These are isolated incidents.
Encounters of known and suspected terrorists are very uncommon.
The FBI says those on the watch list are known to be or reasonably suspected of being involved in terrorist activities. The Biden administration continues to pursue the possibility of the U.S. rejoining the Iran nuclear deal. While the administration is discussing it, the State Department's Ned Price says these are not face-to-face discussions with Iran, at least not yet.
We do not at this point anticipate direct talks between the United States and Iran. We are open to them because we are open to diplomacy.
Tehran insists that Washington must drop sanctions imposed by the Trump administration before the process can go ahead. It appears that anti-Semitism in this age of COVID-19 is flourishing in cyberspace.
There's a new report from Tel Aviv University that found that the coronavirus restrictions around the world pushed people away from each other, and therefore anti-Semitic incidents dropped. However, the concern is that the anti-Semitic feeling still existed and was expressed online instead of in person.
Correspondent Laurie Kelman in Tel Aviv. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 29 points, the NASDAQ ahead 17, the S&P 7 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Are you dealing with personal or business tax issues with the IRS? Does the thought of wage garnishments, bank levies, tax penalties, or having to engage with the IRS worry you? Owing taxes to the IRS or state can be stressful, and ignoring them can make your situation worse. At Federal Tax Law Group, we help individuals and businesses reduce debts and negotiate with the IRS Fresh Start program. Our assistance can save you from drowning in taxes and may even keep you free of prosecution. With over two decades of experience, our tax professionals understand your needs and will customize a tax solution that's in your best interest. Call Federal Tax Law Group at 800-500-9172 for a free consultation to discuss resolving your tax problem. That's 800-500-9172. Again, 800-500-9172. Or visit us online at federaltaxlawgroup.com.
The death toll from mudslides in eastern Indonesia has risen to 126, with scores still missing, and the rain continues to fall.
Hundreds of police, soldiers and residents have been digging through the debris with their bare hands, shovels and hoes, searching for those buried. On Tuesday, relatives wailed as they watched rescuers pull out a mud-caked body, place it on a bamboo stretcher and take it away for burial. In all, landslides and floodings have killed over 120 across several islands in Indonesia, as well as nearing 30 people in neighbouring East Timor. Many homes have been damaged and thousands displaced by the weather, which is expected to continue until at least Friday, as the storm moves south towards Australia. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
China's government is warning the U.S. not to boycott next year's Winter Olympics in Beijing out of concerns over human rights issues. News and analysis at townhall.com. Police have detained supporters of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny outside a penal colony east of Moscow, where the outspoken Kremlin critic is doing time.
Navalny's been on a hunger strike for nearly a week to protest what he says is the failure of authorities to provide proper medical treatment. Doctors tried to get inside to meet with prison officials and see Navalny, but were turned away. Police said they detained nine people who allegedly breached public order. The 44-year-old Navalny is President Vladimir Putin's fiercest opponent. He said that three of the 15 people he's housed with were diagnosed with tuberculosis and that he has a strong cough and a fever. Keith Peters reporting.
June 15th could be the date that most statewide COVID restrictions are lifted in California. Governor Gavin Newsom says at this point it's a tentative date, depending on vaccine supplies as well as on where hospitalizations stand at that time. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! All right.
We're on.
Sorry about that. We were just chatting about weddings, and welcome to KCNR Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio station here in the center, the absolute hub of everything that happens in Reading emits from this spot, 1326 Market Street. KCNR1460.com. You're here with Pat and Pam Karch. We're covering for Carl and Linda, who are out on assignment, and wishing them well. When Carl goes out on assignment, he doesn't tell me where he's going, so that's all I can say about
that. I'm pretty sure it's somewhere fun.
Yeah, no doubt. What about the weather today, Jared? You got that for us?
I do. It's currently 51 degrees here downtown, and it's going to be pretty sunny all week. Today we have a high of 75 with a low of 44. Tomorrow is a high of 74 with a low of 47. Friday is a high of 77 with a low of 47. And on Saturday, it's going to be a high of 79 with a low of 49.
That's great, and thank you for that. And in the studio with us today, Carl has invited Captain Bill Schuler. And thank you, Captain, for being on the show.
Reading Police Department.
Oh yeah, that's correct. And I was hoping that maybe you could fix a couple tickets I got in the last few weeks, but apparently that's not the case, huh?
And he already paid them anyway.
Yeah. Good morning, and I'm actually the chief, not the captain.
But yeah.
Oh my god.
It's all right. But yeah, it's good to be here this morning.
So you're not going to fix my tickets anyhow.
Already called in the captain.
Yeah, I screwed that one
up. Not going to happen.
Yeah, sorry about that. And it was kind of funny, and I was telling the chief about it. I parked in a place downtown, and then I got a call from someone over at the Enjoy store, and I walked over there, and I thought, yeah, instead of walking all the way over there, I'm going to move my truck about a block and parked in a green zone. I'm not really sure what that. I think it's like temporary parking or something like that. And then on the way back, I was strolling down the sidewalk with two cadets who were writing tickets, and we were talking and having a good time. And I walked down to where I'd originally parked, and I looked, and my truck was gone. And I thought, oh my god, someone stole my truck! And my truck is such a piece of junk. I thought, no, that cannot be possible. And I remember, oh, I parked a block back, and I went back, and they had just put a ticket on it before I started talking to them. But they were very cordial about it. It was good. And, you know, I was blocking a place where business was, it was all good, but I thought that was kind of funny. Anyhow, you guys do a great work. You know, I've been working in, since, oh my gosh, 1980, either in schools or in public government here downtown. And RPD has saved my bacon. I mean, come through for us. And I'm not joking. Seriously, many times the officers have all been stellar. Everyone that I've known, and out at Reading School of the Arts, which was my last assignment, when we would have potential break-ins, you know, they come in the middle of the night. One time they came with a dog, and more than willing to help, always safe, you know. They use my services to get them into things, but they keep me out of harm's way. So I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate the department, how it has been through the years and even now.
Thank you. I appreciate them, too, because they kept him safe.
Yeah. No, we have good people, really good people. We have high standards. We hire good folks, and I'm glad to hear that.
Right. The hiring right now, what's the status of hiring? I saw some positions, lateral positions that were open.
Yeah, we've got quite a few positions open. We have 9 openings as of today police officers. And the city council allocated 4 new positions for downtown for the bike team. So that includes that 4. So that's new. But there's still another 5 that we're trying to fill. And it was a late night last night. We had a city council meeting, and city council approved a new crisis intervention response team officer. So it actually brings that up to 10. So, as I've talked about before, it's a struggle to hire police officers at the moment. And we're recruiting all over the state, actively recruiting. Our officers recently got a contract adjustment, a raise, and I'm hopeful that will help us to recruit officers. And we're paying a $7,500 signing bonus for laterals to come work here, half when they get hired and half when they complete probation.
I have a couple questions about that. If a person moves laterally, and say they take a position of, greater rank, is that how you would say that?
It's pretty rare that happens.
In terms of their seniority, how does that change? You know, say they're at, and I don't know the positions well enough to know, but if a person moves, say, from a night position to a day position, which I think is probably, you know, more popular, it would be, at least if I were an officer. Do the seniority always follow them through all of these lateral changes?
Okay, so we're talking about 2 things. So an officer, once they're hired at our police department, they, you know, they're seniority based on their hire date, right?
Right.
And so if we hire an officer from, let's just pick Sacramento PD, and they have 10 years experience. When they come to Redding PD, they start back at zero. Right.
Okay. That would make sense. It's a different agency.
Right.
Sure.
Different agency. And you pick your shifts, and, mostly just shifts. About the only thing that seniority does for you is you get to decide what days or weekends or hours you want to work based on what's available. When you promote through the ranks, your seniority resets again. So if you become a corporal, your seniority becomes, you're the bottom of the corporal or bottom of the sergeant.
I see.
Bottoms, right?
Okay.
So it resets for each rank. So you're kind of starting over again, but you're in a new position.
Is that normal for departments?
Yeah.
You know? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Very normal.
And so, and not only attracting people, but retention, those pay raises help with retention, but you would think that living in our area, which I think is wonderful, you know, living in Redding, has got to help with retention in some way.
Oh, yeah. It does make a difference. And a lot of the people we hire have roots here. Either they married into a family that has roots here, or they grew up here, left, went to college, or went in the military and came back.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of that, but we can't just hire people that
right.
just grew up here or were here or have those ties. If we're going to continue to fill the department, we need to reach elsewhere. And so that's what we're doing. We've picked up some people that have zero ties here, and they've come here, and hopefully that continues the trend and we get more and more people to establish roots in our community.
Yeah, that would be good. I mean, I know it's tough when you don't have enough cops on the beat and you have all these calls coming in, and people are waiting. I mean, basically that's what it amounts to. It's, you know, bodies on the street, you know.
Right. I mean, for patrol side, we have a minimum staffing requirement. So if we're down positions because of injuries or vacancies or whatever it is, we pay overtime and pay a lot of it to keep mm-hmm. those positions filled, because we have to have enough officers on the street to respond to emergency calls. So for us, that's seven officers.
Okay.
Seven officers and a supervisor at any one time, which is still very low.
No, yeah. It is very for the population.
Yeah, for the population and the city square miles. And we're over 60
large,
square miles, right?
Large.
So. Mm-hmm. 5 o'clock in the afternoon is pretty difficult to get from, you know, the north end of town to the south end of town in a reasonable amount of time. So that's, you know, problematic. Now, we do have some overlaps in our shifts to cover those more busy times. So, sometimes you'll have a couple shifts overlapping each other, to help with that. But yeah, back in 2008, we had 119 sworn officers, and we're at, as of last night, we're 110.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is good. I mean, we were 98 after 2008 for a long time, and it's only in the last couple of years, you know, we've added MPU permanently. We've now added this new bike team, and last night the crisis intervention response team officer, and so we are adding people as the city can afford it.
Right, and the new positions that were approved last night, can you talk specifically about what they are and what they will cover?
Right, so it's one position. It's this will be an officer assigned with a deputy sheriff from the sheriff's office and a crisis intervention, a mental health crisis intervention counselor who's already been hired by Shasta County Mental Health. And the three of them will be responding to crisis, any of those mental health calls where someone's in crisis. So the 5150, danger to themselves or others, suicidal, or just somebody that's experiencing some sort of mental health crisis, and we get a call about them. They will be responding to all of those calls in the lower county basin. So Redding, Cottonwood to the south, Shasta Lake City, Mountain Gate to the north, Igoono, and then out to Palisadro. They could go out to Shingletown depending on the type of call. They could go out to Round Mountain depending on the kind of call. And the officer and the deputy are going to have advanced training in
that was my next question.
Right.
Exactly what
right.
kind of training will they have?
Yep. So all of our officers already receive basic in the academy, but also they receive advanced crisis intervention training called CIT that mental health puts on and post. And then these officers will have more training. In fact, there's a class this month that mental health is got out at S.H.I.E.L.D. that the officers will be going
okay,
to.
Okay, you know what, and we do need to hit more on that, because that's what, something of interest right now. We're pushing on a break right now.
Okay.
Remember, you're listening to KCNR Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio, and streaming live at KCNR1460.com, and we'll see you after this break.
Life is too short to be uninformed.
The Armstrong and Getty Show, 9 to noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed is the only bed that effortlessly adjusts and responds to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. And now the new Queen Sleep Number 360 C4 Smart Bed is only $14.99, plus special financing, only for a limited time. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Welcome back to KCNR Radio. You're here with Pat Pankarch covering today for Carl and Linda as they're out on assignment. And we have Chief Bill Schuler here in the studio with us today. Thank you for coming today.
Glad to be here.
When we went out, we were talking about crisis intervention and the new program. I guess you could call it a program or a new team, perhaps. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, it is a program. We're kind of in the testing phase to see how it does, and hopefully it grows. But it is, I'm very excited about the program. I think it's a step in the right direction to deal with these really critical issues with folks that are under, going through some sort of mental health distress or in crisis, and having that mental health clinician doubled up with our officers, the officer and the deputy, is going to provide an additional resource that we don't currently have. And so one of the things that the advantage of having that clinician is they'll be able to look that person up in their database and find out, you know, if they've had previous mental health conditions, if they're on medication, if they're not, or they should be. And then after that call is completed, whatever we decide to do with that call for service or that person, if it's a 5150 hold or it's not, we'll have that ability to follow up or make sure that person receives the follow-up treatment they need. So it's kind of an end-to-end goal with this crisis intervention response team. The officers will be in plain clothes, and they're going to have their body armor and their firearms concealed. And it's just to kind of de-escalate and lower that level. You know, oftentimes an officer responds to a call where someone's suicidal, they've got a knife, and just having that uniform and that presence can amp that situation up. And so having the ability to step back while still having all of those tools and resources available if necessary, but be able to step back and try and de-escalate and calm that situation down and get that person into custody as safely as possible is our goal.
You know, the school counselors, when I worked in the schools, were very much appreciated, because we would have students, and older students, you know, that would go off for some reason or another, and a lot of times I'd be called in to restrain them. But that was really not the best long-term approach. That just made it worse. And then the school counselor would come in, and after a few minutes or sometimes longer, you know, they would de-escalate. You know, they had the skills to do that, and I was not trained to do that. My first response was just, you know, hold the kid down and make him shut up. And that wasn't necessarily the best response, you know.
Right.
Sometimes it was, but, you know, if they were violent, but not always. So I really came to appreciate the people that have those skills. Now, when people get, when you say they may get diagnosed, does that mean that that person, that third person in that team, excuse me, from mental health starts that process with this person?
Right. She would be able to do that as a clinician working for Shasta County Mental Health. She would be able to start that process or get that person the resources they need, and coordinate with her other staff. If we do a complete hold where we put them in the hospital, she'll be able to coordinate with her staff to get that, you know, get the follow-up care done and, you know, move that process forward.
We had one person that Pam and I took in for a while who was bipolar. What was her name?
Jamie, not at all violent.
Not at all. Excuse me. And we finally did convince her to go down to mental health and get her diagnosis. And she was severe bipolar. She had, at age 30, had been off of her meds since age 19. And so she was not really doing well. He could barely carry on a conversation with her. And here she was homeless in Reading. And one day I saw her dragging this big suitcase, and I stopped and I asked her if she needed help. And she said, I need to go to the sheriff's department and report she'd been
abused.
And then at some point after that, we lost track of her, but ran into her at a restaurant and took her into our home. When we finally got her after weeks of being with her to go in and get a diagnosis, she came back from the diagnosis from mental health, and I said, how did it go? Because she met with the psychiatrist there, and she said, well, I'm not going to sign this diagnosis. And I didn't realize that to be treated, the patient has to consent. I guess I never really thought of that. And I said, well, why not? She said, because the guy says that I'm a danger to myself and a danger to others, and she refused to sign. And that was the end of that diagnosis. It was pretty disappointing for us, because if we just could have gotten her to sign, she could have gotten the medicine she needed.
But in fact, she was not a danger.
Yeah.
Right. And so that was unusual. And then eventually she did go back to her home city of St. Louis.
Thanks to the one-way bus ticket.
Yeah, that June was doing right. And she got back there and did get on her meds, and last report, she was holding down a couple jobs and had an apartment of her own, you know.
Yeah.
But these are the kind
of folks. With family support. There was a whole network of support back there that there wasn't here, and that's absolutely critical to every single one of these events.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they're from out of the area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
And a lot of the people you'll see in Reading that are, you know, schizophrenic, they're talking to themselves. They're not a danger to themselves or others, so there isn't something, we can't force them into treatment.
Exactly.
We can try. We can offer services. Luckily now we have wonderful people at Hill Country that with their mobile crisis team can help us and go out and try and get those folks into some sort of treatment. But it is true. There is no forced mental health rehabilitation in California. You cannot make people do that.
Right.
I don't think there is very many places.
Yeah, not unless they're going to be they're a danger to themselves or someone else.
Right. And in that case, do they usually get transported to jail?
No, they'll go to the hospital under a 5150 detainer.
I see. And when they, now I'm kind of ignorant about this, you guys. When they go to the hospital, they're in a room there where they're guarded, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we take them to the hospital. Hospital security takes over, mental health will come down, and they'll make a determination whether to keep that hold on or release it. And then there's obviously a legal process to go through. There is, Shasta Regional does have a locked mental health facility there with 15 beds, and I think they're going up to 30.
Mm-hmm.
So there are quite a few folks that can get housed there, but a lot also go out of the area.
What is that, Pam? I'm not familiar with that.
I thought because of actually maintaining that building, I thought you were aware of that.
Not in that case. I did maintain the building that was down on Brislauer, which was a 23-hour facility. I don't know if it offered those kind of same kind of services. Those people, though, could leave at any time.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was a shame. You know, they did just would just walk out and end their treatment, and then they'd be back on the streets.
Right. Breslauer did have a full-time mental health facility when I first started here in the mid-90s, but it closed early 2000 and went to what you're talking about,
right,
a 23-hour or in some cases less. And so Shasta Regional has filled that void.
Very good.
And doing a great job at it.
That sounds good. Now, as we, Pam and I have worked with the mission for many years, and the folks down there, and we've gotten to know mostly through music. Actually, we're musicians, and we would go down and, you know, and occasionally bring music in the park or at the mission, and we get to know these folks that are homeless. And people in our community need to know that homeless people in many situations have some serious mental illness going on. And so when I hear people say, oh, you just give them a place to live and they're going to be happy. Well, that is not the case, folks. We have friends that have homeless members of their family currently, and they don't want to live in a place that you provide for them. In fact, they've chose that lifestyle so that they can be free of all these things that they consider entangle us. And so it doesn't always work. Well, there's not one solution for everything. You really need a team like the chief is talking about here to assess each person one at a time as you encounter them and do, you know, whatever services work for that person. And sometimes nothing works. This is the lifestyle they've chose. And we have to get used to that because this is the nature of civilization. We've always had homeless. You know, the thing that can make a difference is whether or not we can help those that we can help, and then also then arrest those that are breaking the law and so forth.
I have a quick question. So this has to do with the crisis intervention officer. Obviously, you had lots of percentages and lots of data that you compiled that this was a real need.
Yes.
I mean, it's been a real need for quite some time, but somehow all the numbers came together and it was presented and it was passed by the city council last night. So about what percentage of the calls that you're getting are in need of this crisis intervention?
Well, so it's a really hard number to quantify because, for example, a lot of calls come in just as a disturbance call, and then they turn into a mental health call, or they come into they're a homeless person who's shoplifting, and they turn into a mental health call. So it's really hard to quantify. What I can quantify is the 5150s, the ones that were suicidal or danger themselves or others, those calls. So on a countywide basis, or the area where we're targeting this new crisis intervention response team, we had almost 1,000 calls last year.
Oh my God.
So you're looking at about 3 a day. And we're only going to be working 4 days a week in the pilot project, 10-hour shifts. And so there's plenty of work to do. And 3 a day may not seem like a lot, but each one of these types of calls is not one you go to and you're done in 5 minutes. These are longer, they're a longer response to deal with. And then you have all the other ones. And then my goal with this team, or our goal, is to, if they're not responding to a call for service, they're monitoring the radio to see what else is going on. And maybe they think that, oh, that call might have something to do with a mental health crisis. We're going to go anyway and be available in case we're needed. Kind of like Hill Country is doing with us now on a lot of some of these calls.
Is this program sustainable? Is it fully funded?
Yeah, it's funded. It's a 3-year contract with mental health. So mental health is funding basically 3/4 of one of my officers. Mm-hmm. And then we have a grant through housing that's paying the rest of that. And it's a 3-year pilot project. I think it's going to grow. I hope we can get 7-day-a-week coverage and get 2 officers from each agency and expand it, because I think we're going to be very busy.
Right. HHSA is probably a good resource for that. Typically in the past have had, more leverage over their funds and being able to move them around.
Yeah. And that's who's funding this. And then we've applied for a grant through the the continuum of care, and for a second officer for the city, and that officer would fill in when the deputy is not there or another officer. So,
all right,
yeah,
well,
we're excited.
I pushed the brake too much, and sorry about that. We're here with Chief Bill Schuler from RPD, and we're going to see you on the other side of this break. KCNR Radio, 96.5 FM.
Sorry. When you're smiling,
look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed is the only bed that effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. And now the new Queen Sleep Number 360 C4 Smart Bed is only $14.99, plus special financing, only for a limited time. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. And you may qualify to get the 26% federal tax credit. At Powerhouse Solar, we are an elite dealer for SunPower, and we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels. A lot of people don't realize they have options now. You can get the SunPower SunVault battery and solar with financing. So keeping the lights on when the grid goes down is easier than ever. And the entire system is backed by their 25-year warranty. Powerhouse Solar can design a system for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com. Again, call Powerhouse Solar at 275-5600 or visit us online at powerhousesolar.com.
Hey, that's great. Great job there. Jared's always on top of it with the song. So welcome back to KCNR Radio. You're here with us at 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming live, KCNR1460.com. You can call in. The studio hotline is 605-4567. That's 605-4567. If you want to talk with us, Pat and Pam Karch, we're covering for Carl and Linda, who are out on assignment, and an unknown assignment that we're not been made aware of by Colonel Bott. So we're here with Chief Bill Schuler with the Reading Police Department. Before we left for the break, we've been talking about homeless and a new program they have for intervention, and that's a great program. I did have a question, though, Chief. There was a suspect who was shot by an officer, I think on South Court Street the other night, and I didn't really get many details on it. Can you tell us about that situation?
Yeah, that was yesterday. Our officers got a hit, or there was a hit, LoJack hit. You know, LoJack is a system you can buy with your car that alerts law enforcement if your car's stolen, right? So once your car's stolen, you report it, and then LoJack sends out a signal. So we have cars with LoJack sensors in them. CHP has them, and so those get referred to our officers. So that LoJack hit came over the radio that this stolen vehicle was in the area of the downtown area. So officers were looking for that vehicle. They found it. It had a cold plate on it. They tried to make a car stop on it off of South Market. The driver fled, went into behind Pop's 50s place back there in Market and Ellis. Drove back there. It got really dangerous very quickly, so our officers canceled the pursuit. It's middle of the day. It's about, if I recall correctly, sometime in the early afternoon yesterday. And at that point, it just became too dangerous for the public. So we canceled that pursuit, but that didn't slow him down. He drove through some parking lots and drove, end up crashing into a gal driving on 273. Luckily, she was not badly injured. Her and her daughter were in the car. And he took off on foot, and he had a rifle in his hand.
Oh, brother.
And ran off with that rifle. There was a female passenger in the car that took off. We have her identified, so we're working to locate her today. But the officers gave chase to the suspect with a rifle. He ended up running westbound towards the railroad tracks. He fired several rounds from that rifle at officers. They chased him on foot. The CHP's helicopter came overhead at one point. It was able to help us track which way he was going. He tried to get into a house. He tried to fly down cars. Luckily, people kept on going and didn't stop for him because I'm sure, you know, it's likely they would have been carjacked,
right? Mm-hmm.
Or worse. And At one point, I mean, he fired multiple rounds at our officers. We've got officers that bullets whizzing by him. And he attempted to get into a truck off of Grandview area, North Court and Grandview, or Court Street and South Court and Grandview. And the truck had the door open. The owner of the truck had just came home, was getting her daughter out of her truck and groceries, and had just gone in the house, and he saw the open door and approached it, discharged his rifle again, and at that point one of my officers discharged his department issued rifle and ended the
great
incident.
Well done.
Yeah,
that could have gone very bad.
We were very lucky. We had multiple crime scenes to deal with yesterday. You know, we have to account for every bullet that is fired by him or us. And so we're trying to track down and make sure we don't have innocent people hurt. So there's a lot of work to be done yesterday. But luckily, no injured civilians, no injured officers. So
that's very good.
Worked out in the end.
You know, that's probably smart. One of the big mistakes I made, I got all hyped up one time. Someone was at the school, and I got a call on the radio from my work partner, and he said, "Hey, Pat, somebody's supposed to be out in your truck." And I'd left my truck unlocked, and I said, "No." And so I went out there, and a truck was speeding away. They'd been going through all the vehicles in the school parking lot. And without thinking, I don't know why I did it, I hopped in my truck, and I chased them. And that's pretty stupid, you know.
Yeah.
That's your job. But I did it anyhow, and I went down, you know, down by that bakery, and they started, and then they drove up toward Bethel, and I knew they were in a dead end. But then I got my wits about me at that moment, and I thought, I need a cop. This is stupid. What am I doing?
Right.
And I was so lucky. There was an RPD cop parked right there.
Oh, yeah.
And I went up to his window, and I said, and he rolled down his window, and I gave him the story, like, in 10 seconds, I've told him the whole story. I said, these people were breaking into cars at the school, and then they got away in a truck, and the truck went up there to Bethel, and I said, they're going to be turning around because it's a dead end. It's going to come out in about 20 seconds. And he looked at me and said, okay, I got this. Sure enough, that truck came right back, and he chased them. And turns out the truck was stolen in Oregon, and it was filled with stolen stuff in the back.
They awesome.
Captured one guy. The other guy got off. We didn't have the helicopter. He got off and hid in the woods.
No problem. It was spring, and the poison oak was in full bloom, and it was lovely.
Okay. Oh, we got Ron on the phone. Ron, are you there? This is Pat.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, go ahead. Would you have a question for the chief?
Yes, I do. I've got a couple questions. Anyway, how often are drugs involved with this mental illness? Sometimes I think they're on drugs because of their mental illness, or they're mentally ill on account of their drugs. And my last question, is there any kind of a test that you, like a drug driving test where they breathe in something? So if they're on drugs, is there any kind of a test that you can give them right there on the spot? And I'll take my answer off here, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Ron, for the call and the questions. So, yes, drugs and mental health go hand in hand. There are a lot of people that self-medicate, that use illegal narcotics to try and deal with their mental health issues. So it's a common thing that we deal with. As far as a test, no, there is no like breathalyzer or anything else like that for drugs, marijuana included, although there is some development for something for marijuana and impaired driving. But we do have what all of our officers are trained in drug recognition or drug recognition. We have some that are drug recognition experts called DREs. It's an advanced training in alcohol and narcotics detection, mostly related to driving. But they're able to look at the symptomology of somebody, how their eyes react to light or, you know, when you're following the pen, the deviation of a pen to pulse rate and heart rate. I mean, all of these different things, and they're able to determine, if they're under the influence through that way. So, but unfortunately, for just somebody being under the influence of a drug in the, you know, just they're sitting on a sidewalk and they're under the influence of drug, it's barely a crime anymore. So it's basically hold them till they're no longer, till they're sober, and then they get released if we have to, if we book them at all.
Right. And that used to be the case. I know we, I had the jail for a while. It was one of the buildings I was responsible for. And I know at about 2 a.m, there was always a steady stream of people coming out.
Right.
You know, and it was a call, you know, by the captain, there, to choose who would stay and who would go. You know, they were limited on space. So maybe perhaps we'll talk about that as a hot issue here when we come back from the break. We're pushing a break here. You're listening to KCNR Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, KCNR1460.com, streaming if you choose to do that. Call into the station and, talk with us if you like at 605-4567. This is Pat and Pam Karch, and we'll be seeing you on the other side.
Well, beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me, my lover stands on golden sand and watches the ship.
Tired of listening to people who are angry all the time?
Try listening to Armstrong and Getty from 9 to noon right after Free Fire Radio.
The Turtle Bay Spring Plant Sale has been extended. You can now enjoy discounts at the nursery all April long. We grow California native and climate acclimated plants from around the world, primed to grow strong and healthy right in your own backyard. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino to enter our Swipe to Win promotion starting April 1st through June 24th. Weekly drawings on Thursday, 6 to 9 p.m. Winners receive bonus entries for the $20,000 final drawing on April 29th. Keep playing for a chance to win a patio boat on May 27th and one of four energy-saving Pedego electric bikes on June 24th. Join us for a safe, comfortable, and fun gaming experience at Wind River Resort and Casino. More drawings, more winners, and more fun. WindRiver.com.
What is a hero? A hero serves when no one else is ready to. A hero helps everyone, never asking for any praise. They stand ready to do whatever is needed. They have picked up the mantle of heroism when we have needed it the most, and their tireless dedication can never be appreciated enough. We want to thank all of our local heroes. We could not get through these times without their courage. We thank you for everything that you do.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at KCNR1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your local neighborhood health food store. We are dedicated to the healthy lifestyle, and we strive for a high standard to carry organic, GMO-free, and clean healthy products.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
We have certified nutritionists on staff that take pride in helping you. Supporting local, we are all in it together. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Meet Stella the Seahorse and her companions in Washed Ashore, Art to Save the Sea, now on display at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Delightful and shocking, this indoor-outdoor exhibition highlights the perils of plastic pollution. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Okay. Thank you for that, Jared. Welcome back to KCNR. You're here with Pat and Pam Karch, covering for Carl and Linda Bott, who are on assignment, and Chief Schuler is with us from the Reading Police Department. One of the things I wanted to ask you about is human trafficking. You know, Reading is a very interesting place. You know, it's a county seat.
I-5 corridor.
I-5 corridor, you know, and so there's, you know, literally thousands of people that are passing through here every day. And it tells me that it's a good place to traffic people because you can get on a fast corridor out of town. What's happening in terms of human trafficking?
Yeah, unfortunately, we're seeing it more than we ever have. You know, there's been some arrests recently of by both us, by the Anderson Police Department's been doing some stings and have made some human traffic arrests. There's been several cases, and the I-5 corridor, us being on that is part of the reason for that. Our close proximity to major metropolitan areas like Sacramento, a lot of the victims that we encounter are from those areas. They're caught or picked up in those areas and brought here and then trafficked in our motels, our local motels, or put up an apartment and then go to different various places. So, I mean, if there'd be probably enough work to do to set up some sort of task force where we could actually work on a county level with multiple agencies, I think, because I think it's here more than we know.
Probably so, you know, and also, you know, try to hone in on who is actually paying, you know, these traffickers for these. That would be
right. Well,
that's catch up at the source.
Yeah, and that's where a lot of this comes from. I know, you know, the city of Anderson has done some great work, Anderson Police Department, doing stings like that to try and get the Johns, the ones that are paying, and then they find the victims, and then they can go backwards and find the ones that are doing the trafficking.
Does most of this occur, like, in motel rooms?
Mostly, yes. Cheap motels.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's, you know, multiple sources to find folks. It used to be, you know, Craigslist or Backpage and some of those others, but there's a lot of web, you know, sites that you can go to find girls that
right
for this prostitution.
Yeah, it's a very sad.
Very,
you know, sad. We attended a thing by I think Matt L. Mosley, and we'll get to Nick in just a second. Nick, we know you're there. Years ago, he did a thing at the Cascade about traffic, and that was an eye opener for me. Let's take Nick's call right now, Jared. Nick, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you.
What do you got to question for Chief?
As a matter of fact, I do. That's why I called, Pat. Hey, Chief. The taxpayers are spending a ton of money down here at Henderson Open Space to build a park. They're even putting bridges in. You know what's going on down there. And I see our brothers and sisters that don't have a home are just camping on the edges. It looks like they're just staging, waiting for it to open up. Are you going to have a strategy to keep that place maybe camper-free and safe for us taxpayers who built it?
Heck, yes, absolutely we are. We will be working diligently to keep that place clean, and our new bike team that'll be working downtown will also be going out to parks and trails, and that will be one of the areas that they will be focusing on as well.
Great, thanks, buddy. Have a great day.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks for calling. Let's talk about the bike team. You know, and for our cop, I mean, I would love to do that, but I could not take the rigors of riding a bicycle around, especially like when it gets over 100 degrees. You know, my hat has got to be off to those guys.
And gals.
Yeah, whoever, you know, it's just, but that is so important because, you know, one of our murders that we had many years ago happened on the trail, and it's been a concern for people, you know?
Yeah. No, I would love to be a bike officer. What a great job. Get some exercise. You get to be out in the community, get to see, you know, say hi to folks and be out in the trails, and it's just be a lot of fun. We have electric bikes now. They're Trek police bikes.
Woo-hoo,
and yeah,
they're, okay.
They're pretty
you change careers.
Yeah, they're pretty pretty cool bikes. So they're pedal assisted bikes. So they really make it. You can get places pretty quickly with those bikes, and they were all donated to us through various donors. So that's great, and they're awesome. So in fact, we're hoping to get a couple of more. We have six currently, and we're going to get a couple more for the bike team downtown.
Right on. You know, Ann with Shasta Streets was talking about similar bikes the other day, and she invited Carl and Linda and Pam and I to go on a five-team bike tour
up all the trails in the city.
Awesome.
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah, your predecessor, I think, was more into the his motorcycle was his love.
Yeah, and I'm a love of motorcycles as well. I rode police bikes here for 5 years, and I still ride for my own sanity now. But I do love the bicycles too.
Right on. That's cool. So on the trafficking front, that is something that probably would be good to be addressed at some level. I don't know where we stand with Matt Mosley and what he was doing before. I have lost touch with that. I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, I talked to Matt often. We're on the One Safe Place board together, but we haven't discussed what that program is lately. But yeah, it's definitely something that I think we could address on a more regional level if we had the funding and the sources to do that. There'll be a lot of grant opportunities coming out, and that's definitely something we'll be looking at.
Is there anything that the average Joe in the community can keep an eye out for?
That's poor terminology, but the average person.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. No, it's true. So we do have a human trafficking tip line at the Reading Police Department. It's on our website. You can go and you can do an anonymous tip, or you can provide your information. That we would prefer you give your information so we can follow up with you. But we get tips all the time of, hey, this apartment's really suspicious. There's girls coming and going out of that apartment. Every time the girl leaves, she's with a guy. She's never by herself. And so we do follow up on every one of those leads. Those leads go straight to our investigations or detective division. Our two of our sex crime detectives will read those and follow up on every single one of them. And they have turned out to be, we've gotten some good tips from those. So, yeah, just be very, you know, vigilant and aware of what's going on around
right,
you and your neighbors.
People just be observant, you know, what's around them. A lot of times that's all it takes.
Right.
You know, I'm going to run out of time here, but I did have a question. I thought I read something in the news the other day. It said that somebody had a plan for temporary housing tents. Is that what Nick was talking about? Or
I don't think so. But we last night, council addressed that and agreed to let us move forward with it. But the city is looking at some changes in an ordinance to allow temporary, kind of like a micro shelter, where, for example, the mission or a church, it would have to be managed care, would have tiny little houses, and they could put people in there. They'd have to homeless that. They have to be the homeless, like you talked about, that want to break the cycle, right? It's not just a free-for-all.
Right.
So it's and the mission is very – Jonathan and his staff are very interested in doing this in some property they have, and we would have several of those little tiny houses on his property. And, again, managed care, people on site, they're getting drug and alcohol counseling. They'd have to go to get employment, you know, training and work to break that cycle over a 10-month maximum period, and then they would either be removed or they would, you know, continue into some other transitional housing. So.
Right on.
Which
know,
is available.
Yeah.
Sure.
It used to be the homeless in this area were what I called resident homeless, and I got to know a lot of them. In fact, I even hired one time. I needed someone to watch the Veterans Hall downtown here.
Yeah.
Because we had a problem with vandalism. And this one old boy that was camped across there all the time, he lived down there by the canal. I paid him $5 a week to watch that. And one night he called me up in the middle of the night. He said, "Pat, you got to get down here. She's breaking the windows." And that saved us a lot of money. And that was what I call resident homeless, people that are just like normal people that want to live outside. And then it seemed to change over the decades. We had these non-resident homeless, and many of them were on drugs. And that is when things really started to go south, in my opinion.
Yeah. Excuse me. A lot of it's legislative changes. You know, our jail's full. It's changing the drug laws. It's economy related. It's just there are more and more people that are homeless. And being on the I-5 corridor, we get folks from out of town that just end up here. And we're a county seat. So
well, and not only that, but we have great weather.
And we do have good weather,
that's
right.
That's a huge piece of it right there.
Right.
You know, rarely on occasion when I get a call when I worked for facilities management, you know, we need to open up a building for homeless because it was so cold. It was very few and far between.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
Okay, that sounds good. There was another thing, and we got down to 1 minute here. I hate to miss out on this, though. What is your opinion on the background checks for people buying guns? That they wanted to, you know, increase the amount of background checks similar to what we would get if we went to work. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, I'm a big Second Amendment supporter, and I appreciate lawful, law-abiding citizens carrying firearms or possessing firearms. So I don't want to restrict that, but I also think we need to figure out a way to keep the folks that are suffering from mental illness and other things from buying guns. So an instant background check system that is quick and easy and accesses the proper databases, I'm fully in support of that.
All right. Well, thank you, Chief, for being on the show. You've been here with Chief Bill Schuler from the Reading Police Department, Pat and Pam Karch on KCNR Radio. We're going to head out. And remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.